You're listening to 702 Breakfast. Listen, it's cheesy, I know, but I can't resist. To BEE or not to BEE. 87 days before the most hotly contested elections since the dawn of democracy, is this even an issue that should be up for debate? Because for the first time since 1994, the ANC's dominance is no longer a certainty. It should be boom time for the biggest opposition party in the country, the Democratic Alliance, but it seems to have lurched from one crisis to another, and most external polling suggesting this election could be disastrous for the DA. The party say its numbers reflect the opposite. It believes it will poll better than 2014. They think they can take Gauteng, the Northern Cape, and retain the Western Cape. How are they going to do it? Well, to tell us exactly, we're joined now by the leader of the Democratic Alliance, Musi Maimane, on the line. Good morning to you, and thank you for your time.
Good morning, Bongani, and good morning to fellow South Africans.
So listen, you know this argument. You've heard it many, many times. Your party is often accused of protecting white interests. And you can see why, though, if we're still debating whether or not to keep a policy like BEE.
Bongani, I think, you know, this is the crisis that sometimes we people find in an elite context debating. It's not a question. The current model of the ANC of BEE has benefited a few people. It's produced in many ways the Guptas. I want a BEE that works for all South Africans, a BEE that includes more people. I want more black South Africans, more black students to be able to benefit. While you and I are busy trying to have a debate about whether we should give shares to Gwede Mantashe and a few politically connected people, South Africans are being left out. My fight is for those who are left out, and I think it's an important offer going to the electorate to say we are for them who are left out rather than for the connected few at the top. So I think it's an important offer, and I think you can. It's not about replacing black South Africans. I make it very clear and very explicit. We want an expanded model that includes more people, not less.
I think almost no one will disagree with you there, but what is uncertain, rather, is the issue of where the DA actually stands on this thing. And I'll give you an example. Gwen Gwenya quoted you in her resignation letter, as she did in that article that caused the stir. And the quote that she refers to is one that you wrote in Bukamuso, that we need a wholesale change in empowerment policies to move away from race-based policies. I mean, the impression of a forked tongue here is one we can't avoid. Do you have one message for members and another for voters?
Not at all. When I say we need to progressively move, I said in that article more explicitly, we need to progressively move away from it. Because if BEE works, then surely, Bongani, you can agree with me that the long-term project would say that it should have its sunset clause naturally, because it should address the injustice of the past. If it doesn't work, on the other hand, it perpetuates a situation where 25 years on, we still have to say race is a proxy for disadvantage. We still have to recognize that it's black South Africans who are left out. So I think we will get there, but we're not there yet. So that's not about ambiguity. It's about saying, I want one day to live in a country where our kids will ultimately not be judged by the color of their skins. That is a progressive view. We will get there, but we're not there yet.
So then remove all the ambiguity and say, listen, you want a revision of this thing, not necessarily for it to be done away with. It's how it's been implemented that's problematic rather than what the principle stands for.
The principle is not the debate. The practices, and the practice in the ANC delivers an elite connection. What we desperately want is a broadening of inclusion, not a lessening or a narrowing thereof. So therefore, our position is very clear, very explicit. It says, let's expand opportunities. Let me give you one practical example. What if we sat back and we said, rather than giving shares to politically connected individuals, why don't we educate students who happen to be black so that they can get bursaries and give points to companies? That would be more beneficial to people than giving shares to one individual. So my argument still remains. I want to broaden it so that one day when we look at a sector of society, a community in society, we can talk about a diverse society rather than, in fact, a narrow interest where it says we'll have a few politically connected families who benefit from this thing.
So that's just one example. Here and now then, why don't you make it clear to anybody who's listening to us, who's considering the DA as a political option in this election, what is your policy for addressing black disadvantage?
Our policy is simple. We want to expand opportunities, and it's focused on 3 E's. We want better equity. That's about enterprise development. We want better education outcomes so that you broaden it and include more kids who are unemployed. You want to ensure that you stimulate micro-enterprise by giving benefits to Black South Africans. And ultimately, it's about when confronted with two candidates within a workspace to pick a Black South African, because you want to create a diverse workspace.
Polling suggests that you're losing support. It's really just a question of how much. From Ipsos, the IRR, Afrobarometer, they surely can't all be wrong.
You know, Kolani, I sat with the same a number of years ago. 2016 was the same. I can remember in 2014 was the same. You know, frankly, we are looking ahead, we're surging ahead, and we're growing. The fact of the matter is that here's what the DA has managed to achieve, is that we're a party of growth. What has become quite clear is that now that we govern for more South Africans, we govern now for 60 million South Africans, we administer a budget of 167 billion rands. At this point in time, this is an organization that is at growth. Our indicators, even internally, are showing the fact that we're engaging more South Africans, are growing across all indicators. So I'm very comfortable to confront those polls, to demonstrate that come the end of these elections, we will sit here, you and I will say those pollsters were wrong.
Yeah, they might have been wrong 2 years ago, because the landscape was very different from what it is now. But let's move on to something else. Some would say your party is, at least on the appearance of it, as divided as, say, the ANC. I mean, what's this thing of policy debates on Twitter? That surely must turn voters off.
The good news is that the voters don't all live on Twitter, Bongani. And I think, to me...
But those that do will be turned off by what they're seeing.
When somebody expresses a view on Twitter, there are many views that are expressed on Twitter. There are many views that are expressed across the political landscape that we don't agree with. If somebody wants to raise a particular point and they raise it on Twitter, it is not the party's official position. We stand firmly, and I've come out strongly and said, this is our party line. This is what we stand for. These are the things that we want to see in South Africa. And I think that actually, more than anything, we're really, as an organization, focused on taking our message to South Africa of one South Africa for all. So I really do hear the point, and I take it, that when people are having these debates on Twitter, there are many debates that take place on Twitter. Some of them are off-putting even to me. But frankly, at the end of the day, our party stands for one message, one South Africa for all, and we want to build a job in every home. That's our only focus.
Here's another one you're likely to hear in the next 87 days. What's good for the goose is not necessarily for the gander. You were tough on DeLille, but softly, softly again on Zilla?
No, I actually made it quite clear that we are not going to put up with all of these debates. But I think we can't create a moral equivalence. What happened with DeLille was a question of saying, was there a governance failure? Were there issues of corruption that we needed to confront?
Sure, but consistency is a thing. I mean, it may not be the same thing in terms of the extent of the offense as you see it, but surely consistency is a thing people will expect from you.
Bongani, I took the same stance on Zilla when she tweeted things that I fundamentally disagreed with. I took a very strong stance. We removed her from party structures. When it came to DeLille, I removed her from the position. We took a decision in that regard because we felt that the actions were wrong. It's not softly, softly on one. It's about consistency. But consistency cannot mean that there is an equivalence between a tweet and actual proper administrative failure.
Sure, but at the same time, you told us that she'd be away from party structures, and then she was part of selecting leaders. She's now calling for a tax revolt. I mean, she's calling for people to break the law. It's against your party policy. And yet you just, what, shrug your shoulders and say we disagree, and that's where it ends?
I did not say that. We've taken a decision to say that I don't support a tax revolt.
But you're taking no action against her. That's the thing people are going to be upset about.
She must withdraw her remarks, and we're very clear about this issue. It's not about simply sitting and saying we're going to be softly on this one or softly on that one. As I make it quite clear, we are focused as an organization on our message. And I think the majority of DA voters and DA activists are committed to one thing, which is communicating our message.
If you lose support in this election, will you step down?
I think that would be premature to talk about. I'm focused here on growing support, and I don't want to be preempting what's going to happen after the elections. I believe.
Sure, but you have to consider every possibility, surely. I mean, I understand that. You've got 87 days. You're positive now, and we'll certainly look forward to what you have to say on the 23rd. But should it go badly for you, would you take a principled stand and say, I did my best, I couldn't get us over the line, I'm stepping down?
No, I disagree with you. I think I want to focus on these elections, and rather than trying to speculate as to who's going to lead or what's going to happen, that's not the point of this issue. And ultimately, parties grow. They take on new challenges, and we're heading in the right direction. So I'd rather focus on that and have that discussion at this point.
A number of people say your SMSs and those voice notes just are irritating. What's your response to that?
We're campaigning. I want every vote. South Africans, sometimes we lament and we say, but young people are not registering to vote. And we lament to say that citizens don't turn out to vote. This is a crucial election. I must do everything in my power to turn out votes. Because if we don't turn out those voters, we are going to give a mandate to a party that has looted our country for the last 10 years and simply say to them, carry on as those things are. I am desperate for South Africans to know that sonke skhathele abakrizi. We are tired of this corruption. We're tired of unemployment. And I will certainly do whatever I can to make sure South Africans can turn out to vote in their numbers. And frankly, when I go to communities, people say, I appreciate that you take the time to message me and to tell me about the things that you want us to do. The very message of saying you can come out and vote. That's the focus.
We'll leave it there. Democratic Alliance leader Musmaimane, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for talking to us this morning.